Blog Talk Radio.
My song I sing.
Well, my brothers and sisters, maybe we're back again with a little bit of sound here. I was just alerted that there is no sound. There has not been sound. Well, I believe that we need to do what we can to remedy that. I think we have, we're back again now. Do a little something here with the interface. And preferably, thankfully, unto the Most High, we are back again. Again, my brothers and sisters, this is Eddie Meow, Covenant Remembrance Ministry. So very thankful to the Most High for the opportunity indeed to be back with you here again. Speak these very precious words the Most High has granted me for the blessing of his people. Without question, my brothers and sisters, the Most High has told me that I have him some very important things for him to do. Because of what he told me I must do, he said I'd accrue, and yes indeed, some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But he told me that in doing for him that which he has asked of me, I would have his protection and his guidance. And for that, my brothers and sisters, I can only be utmost thankful. For the Most High has told me that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, he has told me that I must tell you things that men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall, my brothers and sisters, to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and if they could, to destroy. But my brothers and sisters, the word of Yah endures forever. Most High has promised that surely there must come a time of refreshing. Yes, indeed. A time of restoration. A time when he will bring to mind by his spirit that teaches all things, no lie in it, bringing all things to remembrance. A refreshing, a bringing again to mind concerning all things the Most High has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Meaning, my brothers and sisters, that the promise of the Most High has always been that even though humanity has been divided after a multitude of contentious, differing ideals, presumptuous, contentious, conflicted, so often misimaginations, the Most High has promised that his people, he did not say they would be galvanized, reunited, reconciled by the multitude of differing belief systems, political, social, religious, nor by any partial or perverse standard, nor by no polluted standard, my brothers and sisters, by no self-righteous or selfishly ambitious standard, shall his people be made one. But my brothers and sisters, by a pure and perfect standard, Scriptures tell us well, when he that is perfect has come, that which is in part shall pass away. He said he would come to prove foolish the wisdom of the wise, and the wisdom seemingly wise to men shall pass away. What are we talking about, my brothers and sisters? How should these things be? How should these things be? I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, the Most High has a plan to prove fallen, foolish, false, all the varied misrepresentations that this world and its people, even his own people, have presently under confusion, contradictions, lack of discretion embraced. Please understand, my brothers and sisters, there is only one way by which this world shall be reconciled unto the will of the Father. And it is according to all that the Most High himself has decreed. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? The Most High will not be appeased. And in fact, the grandeur, the magnificence of all that he has decreed cannot come to bear, nor can it be preserved, but according to that which he himself has decreed, even, my brothers and sisters, unto a glorious manifestation of peace, glorious manifestation of truth, justice, even a dimension of conscience, my brothers and sisters, that only he could bring to bear. Only, my brothers and sisters, it can only come to bear, only come to be, only come to be revealed upon the minds and the hearts, only be preserved according to every precept of his will, fully accepted, trusted, and loved in the minds and hearts of his people. Yes, my brothers and sisters, it means that all the varied differences after which men have become prideful must, in fact, wherever they are out of line, be silenced. It's the only way, my brothers and sisters, a pure and holy covenant can be restored to the minds and the hearts of men. Some might ask, my brothers and sisters, how it's possible to attain to that breakthrough. Let me first relate a point to you. I guess that's relative. I have to guess. In fact, I know it is. Depends upon the dimension of your sense of remembrance. I would say to you, let's see, what year was this? With this, I was roughly, I would say around 91. Okay. I remember talking to a particular pastor. If he happens to wind up listening, I believe that with this explanation, he would know who he is. And he was beginning up a, I guess you will, something of a messianic congregation. They were a gathering at the time on Shabbat, but in so many ways, in so very many ways, the assembly, though they gathered on Shabbat, because of the, I guess you could say, I have to say, immaturity or lack of discretion at the time, it's very much like having somebody having a Sunday service on a Shabbat day. Of course, they didn't know it. Of course, there was much to the pastor. Some things he knew, but he hadn't gathered up yet the kind of courage regretfully still not to say some of the things he needed to say. I remember this pastor telling me such things when I spoke about certain ideas to him. He said to me, how many people you think are going to get that? Wasn't keeping feasts at that time. And I remember speaking to him about a lot of things that needed to be cleaned up in his doctrine, but I remember him in conference with one of the assistant pastors. You got to be careful about how you tell people things. Hey, these things are written. If there's a love for the truth, there shouldn't be a difficulty with accepting what is written, even if before you didn't know it. Well, I remember trying to work with the congregation for a matter of a few months, and feast time came in to the Feast of Tabernacles. And I remember they had a Bible study that night. Wasn't the feast, but they didn't have a Bible study. And at the Feast of Tabernacles, what I remember was my wife, Lord heaven help us, had made an absolutely glorious meal. And, I'd had my fill, but, you know, like I said, I had room for a little more. And I was actually about to go back and get a little bit more that night after petitioning for that congregation, quite frankly. And Most High told me when I got ready to reach over toward the food that was sitting on the stove. I was about to reach over and get a little bit more, just a little dab. And most I stopped my hand in motion. And he said to me, "No, I have something else for you." Wow. I wasn't saying nothing wrong with the food. But he said to me that he didn't want me to partake of any more of that. He said, "I have something else for you." Did I have any clue of what he was talking about at the time? Absolutely not. But if I got the concept about doctrine, he had something else for me to do, and it was time for me, apparently, to move toward a meditation. And I remember going out to the sukkah for meditation, and the way we have ours set up, I can actually sleep in it overnight. And that's exactly what I did. I went out to meditate, read a few scriptures, meditate, pray. It's one of the times that I especially love to sit apart, because you can get a feel of maybe perhaps the mindset that our people have had while in the wilderness, under the protection, the guidance of the Most High, petition the Most High to allow you to feel the hearts of your people over the course of ages again. Scripture says he brings all things to remembrance. I can only tell you that I meditated most as long as I guess I was allowed for that time until I fell asleep. I remember falling asleep and it was getting close to morning. And I saw something that shocked me so much so that I immediately raised up. Waist up, if you understand what I'm saying. Immediately raised up from that slumber. What I saw was a plate. I hope you're ready for this. Remember, I had just recently wanted to put a few extra spoons of food on my plate that night before going to meditation. And I saw a plate. Yes, there had been food upon it. But the entire plate was covered with small and large roaches, cockroaches, tiny roaches, but all different kind of species of roaches all over the plate. And I heard the voice of the Most High say these words. He said that all manner of doctrine was at Theatira. But he said, the greatest of these is love. Those were his words. Remember, my brothers and sisters, that the salvation of man has to do with transcending the various ideals of men, transcending the kings and rulerships, even the priesthoods of this earth and their differences. Remember, the scripture says in Revelation 1:18, the nations were angry, the time of wrath has come, the time of the dead, that they should be judged. Didn't say judged before according to another. Most time I give a reward to his servants, those who serve him, seek him, his prophets, those inspired of him, those who find his holiness, his saints, consecrated unto him, that revere his name, revere all that he has spoken, small and great, and should destroy them which destroy the earth. Well, my petition for that congregation was that for all the things that they needed to overcome. Yes, it sounds amazing when I tell you this. They're still eating pork and everything else. Just a lot of things I remember trying to open their heads up to. And there was some level of resistance, quite frankly. But I deliberated with them to try to get them to see. I just say, hey, look, read this passage. Read that passage. Hey, it's there. What should we do? Well, I must admit, it's always some level of ego sometimes between, I wish it were not the case, but egos, especially when pastors feel that their livelihood is based upon the trust they are granted. And it was becoming quite apparent that there was a lot of things that he just simply was not teaching. And maybe didn't have the authority to. Remember, this is also a pastor that told me when I told him about certain truths, he said, how many folks you think are going to get that? As if to say he wasn't going to tell them, and he was satisfied at some level with the dimensions they were being taught. Not what I say a faithful minister of Yah should do. And it came to me. I told you about what the Most High said. He said, looking at that plate, for all manner of doctrine at Thyatira, but the greatest of these was love. Before I look at that scripture, I will simply say to you that I remember the very next day driving out to his church. A little distance, but I drove out and I talked to him privately. And I told him about that, what I had seen regarding his congregation and what he had to admit to me, because I wasn't there doing that Bible study, was the passage of Revelation 2:18 with regard to the church at Thyatira had been his study that night. What did I tell you? Most I said. He said there were all manner of doctrine at Thyatira, but the greatest of these is love. Whether or not men love the Most High, my brothers and sisters, having also a love for all the brethren, will definitely, without question, be determined on whether or not men have a love for all his word. Let's look at this scripture at Revelation 2:18. It says, to the angel or the minister of the church at Thyatira write, these same things says the Son of Yah, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, his feet are like fine brass. Please understand what this is saying. It means, my brothers and sisters, flame of fire, he very definitely can be quite, if you will, zealous for his word, can very definitely be angered, in fact, when his word is resistant. Feet like fine brass, there's a preciousness, my brothers and sisters, to, if you will, wherever he walks, the path that he would lead. He said, I know your works, speaking to this church, and charity. Well, like us think about it, the word for charity in the Greek is agape, love, best word that they had available for it. And your service and faith, and thy patience, and thy works. And the last shall be more than the first. In other words, get the point. It means that there must at some point come a level of maturation, that they will grow onto something better than what they were in the beginning. He said, notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou suffered that woman Jezebel, calling herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication. How much is that prohibited in a lot of churches? And I don't mean just physical, I mean spiritual as well. And to eat things sacrificed to idols. How many understand, my brothers and sisters, when the scripture talks about sacrifices offered to idols, There are many ways that the heathen partook of, even made their sacrifices. Most I told his people, hey, certainly you don't sacrifice an unclean thing, but definitely you don't sacrifice an animal, if you will, with the fat and the blood. Well, all I can say, I saw all kind of broths and gravies and everything else around there. This is what they had after Shabbat service. Heaven help us. They wonder why you didn't want to eat it. Wow. Anyway, say, I gave us space to repent of our fornication, if she repented not. How about her lust, walking after lust rather than walking after what the Most High revealed by His Spirit? Anyway, my brothers and sisters, given this in consideration, what I would tell you is the Most High would say to His people that though there be much immaturity, much and many differences among His people today, so often, my brothers and sisters, willing to be contentious to defend personal ideals, preferences, and orientations. If man, my brothers and sisters, has enough love for the truth, it is possible for man to transcend and be delivered from all those who would dissuade and all those who would be obstacles and all those, my brothers and sisters, who leave man without discipline, without respect for the purposes of the Most High, and without respect for the fact that the earth belongs to Yah, even delivering His people from all those, my brothers and sisters, all those who leave them without discipline. If there's enough love for the truth, enough pursuit and seekitude for what the Most High has declared, and a willing to humble oneself, as the scripture says, the word of Yah is living and sharper than a two-edged sword. If there's enough love for the truth, word of Yah is living and sharper than a two-edged sword, able to tell the point of division between soul and spirit, bone and marrow, able to tell the thoughts and intents of the heart. If there's enough love in the heart of brothers and sisters for the truth, man granted to see what he has not seen, to hear what he has not heard, granted an opportunity, my brothers and sisters, to embrace what he has not embraced, will be granted opportunity to transcend every fallen, false, foolish, contentious, self-righteous, prideful, boastful standard, vain, incomplete, immature standard, to at last, my brothers and sisters, find fruition. I said find fruition, my brothers and sisters, beyond all preference for unrighteousness. And quite frankly, my brothers and sisters, the breakthrough that could compel men finally to see beyond all their differences, all their immaturities, all their sin, because believe me, subjection to any authority less than all the Most High would reveal is sin. When the scripture says Messiah comes, named Yahshua, to deliver His people from their sins, it means to deliver them from all those who would leave them in bondage to any lesser conscience than that which the Most High Himself had decreed. Did you hear me, my brothers and sisters? It says, to Him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear allegiance. Meaning that even those, my brothers and sisters, who had been contentious against the greater truth, self-righteous and selfishly ambitious in their blindness, all, my brothers and sisters, will bow before the will of one. But my brothers and sisters, men doing so will demand a degree of trust. Yes, my brothers and sisters, a degree of faith in Him whom the Most High has instructed, as a son instructed, that men, my brothers and sisters, might discern beyond all those will perceive far less than what is ultimately unto salvation, healing, reconciliation necessary. I think oftentimes about the book of Malachi, my brothers and sisters, and Most High says, if I'm a master, where's my reverence? I'm a father, where's my fear? It talks about the fact that men, however, my brothers and sisters, though he is a great one, many have called the table of the Most High thing contemptible in Malachi, unwilling to accept the fullness of the doctrine, the truth that he would give. But he says, still nevertheless, it shall be that from the rising of the sun to the sitting down thereof, his name shall be great among all the nations. And he begins to reprove the priests who in so many ways didn't realize how they were partial in the law. How in so many ways they had been treacherous against the covenant, bringing contentions among the people. All this is in Malachi 2. How they had compelled the people to love and serve the ways of a foreign God. Fallen standards, my brothers and sisters, not true to what the Most High would raise the conscience of men to perceive. And yet they would say such things, wherein have we wearied thee? Wherein have our words been grievous against thee? Wherein have we robbed thee? As if they didn't even realize, after their dimension of conscience, that what the Most High requires is something still so much more. Scriptures even go as far as to say that men, because they had exacted partial and polluted standards, that it was separation from Yah. And they did this even hiding their iniquity in their robes, claiming to have authority, but not indifferent in their ideals, as if everyone who would do such a thing is somehow good in the sight of the Most High, as if he delights in such. Messiah said to the rulers of his time, I know you well that the love of Yah is not in you. He said to them that they read the scriptures, but though they read the scriptures because they had not the love of Yah, he said, hey, there's no need for me to judge you. There's one who will judge you, even Moshe, who you claim to trust. Messiah did not denigrate in any way the words of Moshe. In fact, he said Moshe wrote of him. What I'm saying to you, my brothers and sisters, if there's enough love of the truth, if there's enough love of the truth, finding the greater dimensions will not be such a difficult thing to accept. And so many of my brothers and sisters will be found, though you tell them, show them, relate to them again and again, how many times the scriptures relate evidence of so many facts, and so many of my brothers and sisters will refuse to accept it simply because their traditions would not allow, their misorientations would not allow. But those who are humble of heart, my brothers and sisters, will receive the exceeding word. And exactly what is required, my brothers and sisters, to begin to grow is exactly, my brothers and sisters, what is required unto breakthrough. And my brothers and sisters, it is a great love for the Most High and a thankfulness to him and a faith in him to know that only according to the fruition of his plan and an obedience and a seekitude, a love even for searching out his instruction, according to all that is his command, is it possible that the peace he intends to finally be brought to bear, and yes, my brothers and sisters, even a thankfulness for that. But there are many who would prefer to believe that it's possible that this attainment might come and even the preservation of it might be possible after another way. Not so, my brothers and sisters. Not so. Faith in Yah is faith to know that the beauty of what he intends for this world can only come to bear according to his His plan. Well, I can tell you, my brothers and sisters, that the Most High has promised the revelation of His plan beyond all those varied ideals that have scattered our people. That's His promise. Because if this world is never to come to a place of unison and peace again, there's no way you can give glory to the Most High. And quite frankly, there's no reason for it to exist if there will not be peace upon it. The Most High does intend that all creation be restored and all things true to Him. Let there be a trust, my brothers and sisters, a love, and a thankfulness that the Most High, according to the magnificence of what He calls good, will bring it all to bear there. That, my brothers and sisters, was always the promise of the Most High. How many of us understand today? Did you hear me? How many of us understand today the real meaning of the scripture, which says in this wise, in fact, one of the most popular scriptures in the whole Bible. More people know this scripture than pretty much you can say any other. Yohanan, John 3:16, Yah so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Most High also gave, my brothers and sisters, to Abraham a promise that this world one day be reconciled unto the will of one. That this world be a place of peace, brothers and sisters. He told Abraham, if you walk after me perfectly, that his seed and his children will one day be the blessing of all nations, and great is the reward in being that blessing and being true servants unto Yah. The ancient promise wrought of the love of Yah has always been the Most High, His love for His plan and His purpose in this world. That He was surely, my brothers and sisters, send an awaited one. Hear me, my brothers and sisters. Long before there was an Abraham, long before there was one to be called a Jew, long before, my brothers and sisters, the Most High promised that one would come who would silence all the varied differences that seem wise to men, proving them foolish. In the East, this concept existed because they had the concept of one who would crush the head of the snake. Understand what I mean? Would crush all double-tongued speech, all lies. Goes all the way back to a promise in the Garden of Eden. Well, my brothers and sisters, what does the scripture say of Israel? It's Zephaniah 3:13. Israel will speak no lies, do no iniquity, no one to harm her. Revelation 14th chapter. No guile in their minds, no deceit, no false doctrine. Means that Israel must overcome all the illusions of the world, my brothers and sisters, to become what the Most High sees Israel must be. Which basically means, without question, my brothers and sisters, that something very pivotal must occur to reconcile the minds of all after the will of one. The ancient prophecies, my brothers and sisters, always said that, I said before, a promised one, an awaited one, an expected one must come. That He would declare an absolute word to a world to transcend all the contentious warfare and differences of opinion and worldly preference that has dissuaded the people after a multitude of diverse allegiances and, yes, even a false concept of love. For any idea, my brothers and sisters, in antipathy against that which the Most High has declared in any way is not love, my brothers and sisters, but is hate. I find it amazing that polytheist mind even consider the word, well, the concept in polytheist mind, you need to think about this. For blessing, their concept of all things being made one, they count it a curse. Just tells you something about polytheist mind. They considered anyone then that would reconcile all peoples after the will of one to be a curse because they said that some of their gods wouldn't be ignored. Amazing. I remember one of your ex-presidents one time said that we live in a two-party system. And he actually went as far as to say that in a two-party system, there will always be debates. And even went as far as to say that as long as that is so, it's a good thing. Because if there were no more debate, there would not be a need for one of us. Our brothers and sisters, there men say that worldly debates, doubt, and contentions must always exist. Just listen to this little bitty 18-second clip.
We have screwed America through one of the most consequential periods of our history. And it has been my honor to serve with you. In a system of two parties, two chambers, and two elected branches, there will always be differences and debate.
Did you hear that? I still remember when I first heard this, and I was like, what? Always be differences? Always be debate? What about the promise of the Most High to set humanity free, true to what is initial intent and what is the beauty of all the Most High has intended, man functioning in order with what the Most High desired, that not only would he bring such beauty to bear, but preserve it. Can this be, my brothers and sisters, while contentions always exist? Well, like I said, the polytheist mind considers an end to contentions to be a cursed thing, and the preservation of a multitude of debates and doubts is blessed. Exactly opposite, my brothers and sisters, from what monotheist mind considered when the scripture was related, blessed are they who bless Israel and cursed are they who curse them, means blessed then are those who work for Israel's full reconciliation and preservation of oneness, and cursed are anyone whose concepts or purpose is to divide the people of the one. My brothers and sisters, let us understand what the Most High was saying to Abraham when he said, blessed, his children would bless the whole world if they sought after his perfect, complete will. Purity and completion offers one choice. You realize the only way you can preserve contentions and dualisms, my brothers and sisters, is that someone has to be dissuaded against the truth or denied it, which means there has to be some form of perpetual darkness. But brothers and sisters, that is not the light the Most High intends for his people. And the awaited one the scriptures speak of in many places in scripture is actually called by such titles as Bright Morning Star, Great Light, Righteous One like the Rising Sun, which is, of course, a great light. Angel rising in the east, symbolic of light, like what rises up in the east. Angel, messenger. How about messenger of light? So many titles, my brothers and sisters, the scriptures speak of concerning the one who will bring forth to the world an irrevocable and invariant light, true to all that is from beginning to eternity, bringing it all to remembrance that all in all ages who have sought the Most High might be true, one love, one page, one understanding, one agreement, one covenant. That's always been the promise. We've been talking on this show about how Messiah said, I'm the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. Well, there are texts that when you look at Revelation 22:16, Messiah saying, I'm the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star, that the prophecy, they relate the prophecy also in Isaiah 11:10. But Isaiah 11:10 through 11, my brothers and sisters, has something very powerful to say. And it leaves man who is ready to receive it with a quandary if he wants to walk continually according to status quo. I'm about to put into the chat a set of passages that need to be looked at to be considered. Isaiah 11:10, and remember this scripture is reverberated in 2 Thessalonians, talks about the one who would come, ultimately casts out all the preference for unrighteousness, all the illusions, all the mysteries of iniquity that have intruded into the doctrines right there in the midst of the churches. Look at these verses, my brothers and sisters. Well, it looks like the second verse, I might not be able to get the fullness of it in. But let's see. Okay, this is a little better. I have to chop, might be chopped up a little bit, but it'll still come through. I want you to look at something, my brothers and sisters. I want you to look at it closely. See, in that day shall be a root of Jesse, root and offspring of David's father, Yeshe. Hey, root of Jesse. Well, that's the root and offspring of David. Okay. Same concept, Jesse, or Yeshe being David's father. So it will stand as an ensign. That means one to guide the nations, the people. To him shall the Gentiles seek, all the nations seek. And his rest, the time of his peace, shall be glorious. Scripture before it says he's going to expose all unrighteousness, the wicked, the lawless. And it says, in Isaiah 11:11, it's come to pass in that day, the Most High shall set his hand again the second time to gather the remnant of his people. To regather, did Messiah do that 2,000 years ago? Which shall be left from Assyria and from Egypt and from Pathros and from Cush and Elam and Shinar and Hamath and the isles of the sea. And the word for sea is also west. Understand, my brothers and sisters, what this scripture is saying. And you need to ask yourself a question. When before did the Most High regather his people from all those territories? It says this time, finally, in the latter days, Israel and Judah, which have been dispersed across the nations for a long time, will again be one people. We're talking about the reconciliation of a pure and perfect covenant, my brothers and sisters. The kind of thing we read in Jeremiah 30-31. When did that happen before? We've talked before, my brothers and sisters, about the one who carried the title, Bright Morning Star, Sunrise. Hey, Zechariah 3:8, Zechariah 6:12. Yeremiah, Jeremiah 23:5, when they wrote down branch, the same word for branch is sunrise or rising of the sun. Revelation 16:12. Most High is proving foolish the borders of the parameters of the nation, talking about the drying up of the rivers before the king of the east. I didn't say plural, king. And then the scripture says, if Messiah, behold, I come. One called the king of the east, my brothers and sisters, it's called the Most High's anointed. Even Messiah, deliverer. In Isaiah 44:20-45:6. You need to read it all the way out to 46:13. And understand all the things that are said about this one he calls his shepherd. That Ezekiel 34 and Ezekiel 37 says concerning him that the Most High has one shepherd, even David, who he shall raise up for them. Okay, root and offspring of David. How about one who is son of David, then, my brother and sister, said branch of David. Okay, offspring of David. Okay, Yeremiah 23:5, call the Lord our righteous. How about the king of righteousness? The righteous king. righteous branch. And sometimes for that word branch, again, it's the word sunrise. Samach has also that connotation and meaning. How many will understand what brothers and sisters, what Messiah was saying when he said, I'm the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star, when these verses at Isaiah 11:10 talk about one who is the root of David, and the one called the bright morning star is someone who bore a title, bright morning star, sunrise, son of righteousness who arises, Malachi being a post-exilic prophet, prophesied it of it to come, yet to come, after the coming of the one who held that title before. They call Cyrus the Great in your King James Version, but it wasn't really his name. It was called the Kurdi, for whom the kingdom of Kurdistan was established. Scripture keeps talking about this one Messiah that comes from a far land, one time from the east, next time, the scripture says in Hosea 11, in Isaiah 24th chapter, to the west. Second time, our brothers and sisters. One time Israel was brought out of a Babylon east. Latter day, a Babylon west. Israel shall be delivered from first. Wow. This is what is written. Why is that your pastors have not told you concerning this? Could it be, my brothers and sisters, that it would open the minds to understand who Messiah says that he is, according to all the prophecies that are written concerning this one, this promised one. When he said, I am the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star, he was saying, my brothers and sisters, that he is the one whom the Most High sends, that the conscience of mankind might be reconciled above all the rulers, king over all kings. And the scripture said he was approved, yes, all the rulers, all the kings, all the priests of this earth, that every mouth might be silenced and every man recognize his sin, his guilt before Yah, proving that the doctrines of all the peoples and all the rulers in some way were lacking. Scripture says, quite frankly, in Isaiah 9 and 2, it says, the people who walk in darkness, shall see a great light. Where for great light there? Some texts actually say, bright light, bright morning star. The word for light there is morning sun or morning star. And that's exactly the prophecies, my brothers and sisters, that we find at Luke 1:78 in the New American Standard Version, for instance. That talks about one called sunrise, that the father of Yohanan the Baptist, John the Baptist, spoke of. And he was definitely relating to the Messiah, the Messiah. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, that in the East, the faith was not called Christianity. It was called Kurdishanya. Kur, sun, tis, rise. Sha, King, King of the East. Why have they hidden this from you? Because all the prophecies concerning that one said that he will prove foolish the wisdom of all the rulers. And how else do the rulers gain control of the people, my brothers and sisters, but that they have compelled the people to believe that they are wise, when all they really have is blind and flattering lips? I'd like to, in fact, I'm putting up now a excerpt from in the NASB translation. At Luke 1:78, I'd like to compare to Luke 1:78, 1:79, to the prophecy, also at Isaiah 9 and 2. And in looking at the prophecy, to relate what the scripture says, the time of Israel's warfare must come to an end, meaning someone's word must bring an end and a silencing of every false, fallen, polluted, lying voice. Here we are. Putting in the chat now. Isaiah 9 and 2, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. The word for great, some texts do translate as bright. The word for light, some texts, my brothers and sisters, also translate as, let me put this word up for you. Word for light. See if I can get all of this in the chat as well. I'm taking an excerpt out of the, what do they call this? The Strong's Concordance. And the word for light there. Is, yeah, let me put this book here for you. Here we are. Or is a word for light. Do you see that last word there? Bright. Lightning. Morning sun. Hey, there's a scripture where Messiah says the lightning shines out of the east even to the west. But we understand those who are wise. We're not talking about lightning like in a storm before thunder. We're talking about the light that comes from the morning sun shining from the east to the west. So should be the coming of the Son of Man. In other words, it's a message that should move and a light that should move forth speedily from one end of the earth to the other. However, the prophecies in Isaiah 59, 19 through 21, Isaiah 24, 10 through 16, Hosea, I need to read all the way from the 5th to the 12th verse, particularly 10th and 11th, keep saying about the Messiah bringing his people back from the west. How many of us, my brothers and sisters, are ready to understand if it talks about a word of truth that reconciles the world from the rising sun to the west, that it means that all the various misrule of the nations must be proven darkness, confusion, that reconciliation in the world might come. My brothers and sisters, it will require a great love for the plan of the Most High, beyond what have been, what has been the various allegiances. And I full well understand that after the various orientations, political, social, religious, familial, that men have been taught to love. Men oftentimes have been taught not only misconceits, not only presumptuousness, but have come to love hasty conclusions, drawn, not taking into consideration all things the Most High has said. But the scripture says those who believed in him, he gave them power to become sons of Yah. Believed in him, I want to tell you, look at the etymology of the word believed and understand the concept of beloved. What you believe in, you also love. What you believe, my brothers and sisters, is also a God to you. If there's enough love, my brothers and sisters, for the truth that is to be believed, man can transcend whatever obstacles exist among those who have led men astray. That indeed this world might truly become in the Most High one. I like to look at a scripture, my brothers and sisters, and try to relate it in the context that it should have always been understood. Yohanan 3:13, Messiah said, and no one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven. And he was really talking about much more than just flying up to the sky, my brothers and sisters. He was talking about ascending to the conscience of the kingdom of Yah, according to what the Most High himself must send from on high. I pray you will understand this, even the Son of Man. And it says, as Moshe was lifted up as a serpent, well, listen to my point, lift up the serpent in the wilderness. Forgive me for a moment, it's my vision, the way I see things. I understand what he's talking about in the context where he talked about the staff that had the head of a serpent in it to guide the people through the wilderness that they might not be afflicted by what was called fiery or poisonous serpents. And the serpent lifted up, or the staff with the serpent on the top, connoted even, my brothers and sisters, where Moshe himself was as he led his people to the promised land. Moshe, my brothers and sisters, which one among the people with the staff raised high above the crowd? You had a lot of crowd of people, my brothers and sisters, yes. Well, they had looked to the front of the crowd where that staff was lifted, and they see which way to go. They'd be able to see the where the land was that had already been checked so that no one would be bitten. And it was actually declared that whoever, if anyone were bitten, that because they had faith in the path, they would not be afflicted. Well, so Moshe, in this regard, was related as the one in his path that he created for the people, beyond, if you will, all that was danger, that the people might be guided to a land of promise. And if they would hold steadfast, they might live. As Moshe lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so he said the Son of Man must be lifted up, one to guide the people beyond all that would afflict them, all that would dissuade them, that whoever believes may in him have eternal life. Whoever believes in him, how about the truth, my brothers and sisters, might not be dissuaded by the lie. For Yah so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. How about the one, my brothers and sisters, who he had disciplined and who was willing to be disciplined unto a dimension, my brothers and sisters, fully acceptable unto the kingdom of the Most High? Yes, that is the promise of the awaited one. Remember we talked last evening about Yohanan asking the question, are you the one who was to come? Are you the expected one? Are we to expect another? The concept of the expected one, my brothers and sisters, who was to lead the path back to true righteousness, lead people beyond all those who mislead the people, is a very ancient concept, my brothers and sisters. So when he said he gave his only begotten Son, I would pray that you would understand what I've been saying on this show for a long time. Isaiah 41, Isaiah 59. Actually relate the Messiah comes to the time when the whole world is falling short of the glory. None then to intercede for the fullness of his will. None who preach fully what is the conscience of the kingdom on high, the gospel. Because the gospel, my brothers and sisters, is a word. It reproves all the misrule of men and declares the rule of the kingdom of Yah in its perfection. So he gave his only begotten Son. How about the one awaited? The awaited one disciplined of the Most High to show the world again the way. That whoever believes in him, I did not say all those who misrepresent, should not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. For Yah did not send his Son into the world. Think about it. We already have a world divided. You might be condemned and divided all the more after illusion. But the world might be reconciled and, if you will, saved through him. What it means, my brothers and sisters, yes, we know the word of Yah caused many contentions in the world. with my brothers and sisters only because of contentions that already existed. One scripture says it well in 2 Thessalonians, if men had accepted the truth through love. Ultimately, in 2 Thessalonians, there are men who had accepted the truth through love, welcomed the truth with love. Man would have discerned beyond his preferences for unrighteousness. Man having a love of the truth would be saved. He said, because men did not receive the truth with love. Men would fall victim, he said, to mysteries of iniquity, already extant mysteries of iniquity. Not having enough love of the truth to be made whole, preferring already extant, if you will, unrighteousness, that many, my brothers and sisters, instead of being delivered, will remain condemned, damned. Why? Because they did not believe in the name, the authority of the only begotten Son of Yah. Meaning, since we understand that a letter, if you will, a covenant is sealed by the name that is upon it, all those, only all those, my brothers and sisters, are willing to accept the authority of the title, the name that's placed upon the contract, will be part of that covenant. Do not believe, do not obey. The word for believe, obey, and understand. How about won't even reason true to the authority of that covenant? That full fruition taught by the awaited one, even the Son of Yah. He said, whoever believes in him is not condemned. Who does not believe is condemned already. Remember I told you about already contentious ideals in the world? He said mystery of iniquity is already at work. Lying systems are already at work. Men already subject to those systems, my brothers and sisters, need deliverance. But it's because man refused, my brothers and sisters, that the world remains divided as it is today. He says, this is the judgment that the light, oh yes, this is the judgment, it says, that the light has come into the world. But men have loved darkness more than light. How about if man had a great love of the truth, my brothers and sisters? Would the world still be divided? Did you hear me? If man indeed had a great love of the truth, a great love for reason, would this world still be as divided as it is? I tell you, no, my brothers and sisters. This world has been reconciled long ago. Hear me, and let's look at this word. It says the light is coming to the world. They put down that this word, light, and in some exegesis as to what this word, light, is, let me just see if I can explain something else. The King James Version, they talk about the city and the fires. Well, the city in the west, and it says because of what happened in the city in the west, or the sea symbolizing west, they rejoiced in the fires. Fire meaning fire, light. It's saying that the light, my brothers and sisters, in this case is a light that consumes everything that is not like it is, not like itself. It says that this is the judgment, that the all-consuming fire of light is coming to the world, but men have loved darkness rather than light, and that their deeds were evil. My brothers and sisters, do you not understand what I said, that the fire consumes everything that's not like itself? Meaning that man must become like unto the light. Man must not seek to hide from the greater truth. Man must not seek to preserve the confusion. But he must become pure, purified and complete, enlightened and purified, that he might dwell consistently in the will of the Most High. Whoever does evil, or let's just say any matter of pollution against the perfect will, who does evil hates the light. Oh, he wants to preserve corruption? What did the West do when they just simply sought to put the name of the Most High on all their illusions? Thus to seek to preserve the contradictions of man. For everyone who does evil, how about after a multitude of polluted, perverted standards, hates the light? How about hates the idea, my brothers and sisters, the Most High said that the anointed one, the awaited one, would cast out all the darkness, would cast out all the confusion. See, everyone who does evil hates the light. Does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices, loves the truth, comes to the light, that his deeds may be revealed, manifest, as having been wrought through Yah. What does John, Yohanan, 1 and 1 say, my brothers and sisters? Many of you know it. It says, in the beginning was the Word was with Yah, Word was Yah, even the light, even the eternal light. The Word, the light of the eternal. The same was in the beginning with Yah. All things were made by him, and without him there was not anything that were made. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. How many of my brothers and sisters want the Word according to the fullness of all the Most High intended from the beginning, eternally? I will only tell you, my brothers and sisters, everyone's soul is going to be checked according to that desire. But those who have a great love of the truth, my brothers and sisters, will have no problem with receiving the exceeding Word. I know I speak on this show oftentimes about so much that most have never heard before. I call this show HiddenGospel.com for a reason. Most High told me that humanity is going to be checked, every soul checked, by even all the words, my brothers and sisters, that for so long a world has sought to ignore. Men, my brothers and sisters, in the West, polytheists, seeking to preserve the multitude of their corrupt ways, have despised the concept of Messiah. Is that one like the rising sun that cast out all the confusion and sought to say that his favor somehow preserves even all those things which corrupt, destroy, and deceive the earth? My brothers and sisters, his grace, his favor, is not that he leaves men subject to a lesser conscience, not that he leaves his people subject to those who would exploit them after misconceit. My brothers and sisters, his favor is not that he leaves his people subject to the influence of those who would leave his people misdirected. When Scripture says not under the law by grace, it means not after the flawed standards of men. We talked before about the word for nomos, the word nomos they use for law. They use indiscriminately for divine law or man's law because they didn't want people to see that there was a greater difference, nor to pursue a greater difference because they wanted to call themselves as leaders gods. This is what was true among the pagans, my brothers and sisters. Did they want to speak about the fact that they had set up empires? Empires, my brothers and sisters, after a multitude of differing traditions? Did they want the idea that their empires were sanctioning a multitude of diverse concepts of deity? They want to accept that this was foolishness, deception, definitely not wisdom. No, my brothers and sisters. Messiah said, I am the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. Those who understand this know that by no means will he sanction the multitude of illusions that people in this society, after so many contradictions, have called Christianity. In fact, the early church did not call themselves Christians. They called themselves Kurdishanya. The people who expected the one, my brothers and sisters, would cast out all the darkness, cast out all the confusion, cast out all the debate, double-mindedness, and doubt. How many of us, my brothers and sisters, are willing to accept that the concept of love is unto an absolute. I repeat that the Hebrew concept of love, ahav, is not agape, which cannot love an absolute. Agape is the love for all the passions of man, all the diverse concepts that men would, in their ignorance, call gods. Ahav is a love for all the Most High himself has decreed as an invariant, pure, perfect reasoning, light, wisdom, discretion, discipline, law, and order. Love, my brothers and sisters, for a world at last liberated unto justice. Compel the heart to receive the truth that even a whole world for a long time has sought to obscure. How else shall a soul grow, my brothers and sisters, unto the fruition intended, but that there must be a love for an exceeding truth? I can only dare to tell you, my brothers and sisters, this. Scriptures talk about exceeding the law of sin and death by the law of spirit and light at Romans 8. And it means that whatever perceptions men have gathered merely after the flesh must be overcome by the inspiration of the Most High. How shall that inspiration be attained? If you believe then that Yeshua is that awaited one through whom you must petition the Father, that to show that you have a love for all that is his will, he said he'd give you the spirit that teaches all things, no lie in it. That is the significance of what the scriptures were saying, of what Yeshua said in Revelation 22:16. He said, I'm the root and offspring of David, the bright morning star. I did not say unto continual confusion or the preservation thereof. But my brothers and sisters, unto an absolution in this world, in a perfect sense of justice, where the scripture says, in Isaiah 42, behold my servant, it says the isles. He says you bring forth justice, judgment in there, wisdom, righteousness. So all the isles, all the nations of the earth shall wait for, seek after his law. A standard, my brothers and sisters, beyond all the kings of the earth. Unto him shall all the nations seek beyond all their rulers. Did the rulers want you to know this? No, my brothers and sisters, that was the truth they hid from you. That you worship false gods, and even that you swear by the name of the Most High falsely, and after the many vanities, short-sightednesses, shallow-minded, partial standards of men. And the Most High told us, well, we should not take his name after such imperfect standards of vanities. You see, we not count blameless a man who does it. Meaning that a fallen standard, my brothers and sisters, is also a deceptive and a foolish one. It holds no promise. And then say the promise was after a multitude of different ideals. The promise was after the will of one, after an absolute. Our people, my brothers and sisters, will not be galvanized after a multitude of partial standards. It says that we will be made whole, saved, healed by faith, my brothers and sisters. And I would have you to understand that man has fallen from faith when he begins to trust in the multitude of differing standards that men have called, how about Christianity and all its differences? Greek word anyway. Trusting in the multitude of contradictions which are Babylonish. Fallen from faith in the will of one and the truth of one under the miscreant and misguided standards of many. My brothers and sisters, the scripture says that's a pretense. In 2 Thessalonians and in Isaiah 11, that must be completely exposed by the word, by the testimony, even the testimony that will bring an epiphany, if you will, a sudden realization. Yes, my brothers and sisters, open to the minds of a whole world. Did they tell you about expecting one, my brothers and sisters, whose testimony would prove foolish? Are fallen in some way all of this world he called wise? Why not, my brothers and sisters? Did they tell you that it was possible that man might be reconciled unto the Most High after partial perception? I'm sure, in fact, I know, my brothers and sisters, that they prefer that you not understand this. Because when the scripture says there's one mediator between Yah and men, at the time it was seen, yes, they had plenty of priests, both pagan and among the people of Israel. Did it say that they were sufficient to be called mediators between Yah and men? No, my brothers and sisters, that's the reason why Messiah comes. Scripture says when he comes, all men will know to seek him. Does that mean that the various priesthoods and rulerships that are present in the earth now are sufficient to be called at reconciliation? Brothers and sisters, absolutely not. That's why those who are faithful understand the scripture. They who wait for the one who is called by the name of the Most High. That righteous one, they said, that is like the rising sun in Isaiah 40:27-41:4, shall renew their strength. To the casting down of all the false rule of all the kings and rulers of the earth. To the casting down of all the false, pluralist, partial rule of all the priests, pastors, rabbis of this earth. For if they, my brothers and sisters, were true to the promise, if they were true to the promise, they would have admonished man to look forward to one whose authority is greater than their own. The prophecy said in advance, my brothers and sisters, that such truths as these they would hide from you. But for those who believe, my brothers and sisters, for those who believe, they know to seek more than what is common. I want to tell you that knowing what I knew from the very beginning of my awakening, Most High awakened me and realized something. I saw something I knew that was far greater than anybody I'd ever conversed with among men, far greater than anyone that I've conversed with or run into to this very day. And I remember a pastor one time telling me that, and it's going to sound funny, but he told me in his particular denomination that everything we need to know to be delivered, and that there is no more, he said it was in the Seventh-day Adventist church. I knew the man was somewhat insane and off his rocker because I had already seen and heard the voice of the Most High with a wisdom far greater than anything that was the parameters of that small-minded prison house church. And don't feel bad because I talk about the Seventh-day Adventist. I say that about every institution I've ever run into because I see that there's still so much more. And they oftentimes are willing to preach and teach. Just one among many prison houses. What makes men think that they have a right to imprison a mind? The Most High shows more. What makes them think that they have a right to enslave the mind that men remain captive to them? The Spirit of Yah is upon me, he said, to preach good tidings. How about the whole word? The whole message from on high to those who are meek, humble. Realizing that Yah is great, reverent unto him to release the captives, to release the prisoners that are bound, to bind up the brokenhearted. How about to heal, my brothers and sisters, those whose conscience has been in so many ways afflicted and severed away from what the Most High intends? A great love of the truth, my brothers and sisters. Great love of the truth will create a greater faith. We create a greater humility, create a greater seekitude, a greater curiosity. And my brothers and sisters will culminate in a greater trust that only what the Most High himself has decreed is sufficient to bring forth the fullness of the glory that he has planned for those who love him. This show is called Hidden Gospel Revealed, my brothers and sisters, for a reason. Most High told me that I must tell you things. And men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to not pervert, silence, and destroy. This is what he told me it was very important that I do. I would prepare the souls, my brothers and sisters, of those who are willing to hear this. The Most High would vouchsafe unto them that this was his word to me. Because I believe that only those who he has touched will really understand it. My petition, my brothers and sisters, that you know what the scriptures mean when it says, be watchful, that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man who reproves all rulers. That you might know to seek beyond them and seek the truth that they would not tell. This website of mine, hiddengospel.com, the articles like Early Church Origin and Ritual Expectation, understand what early church expected. People in the East expected the West didn't want to have anything of. Check out the prophecies, my brothers and sisters. I call them secret city prophecies as to how Messiah truly shall appear. And he shall appear no other way, no matter how many ways men teach otherwise. Check out that article on my website, my brothers and sisters, and understand how they persecuted to destroy the voice and the message of truth that the early church knew in those first centuries. Article called Great Tribulation, 70 to 365 A.D. Article called Remember the Promise. Remember, my brothers and sisters, what the Most High promised that he would do in terms of reconciling the world unto himself and how he said he would do it. Check out all those articles, my brothers and sisters, and so many more. I promise you need them. I thank the Most High. In fact, my brothers and sisters, those of us who are wise will love him because he has given such a promise that there might be redemption. In fact, there shall be. For people, my brothers and sisters, who prove that they love him. And how many love him, my brothers and sisters, according to all that his word, that he reveals in his time. We're not talking about being upset. Oh, why did I not know before? Well, some things man does not discern, my brothers and sisters, till his heart is ready to receive them. Some things man doesn't comprehend until he's ready to humble himself to receive them. But my brothers and sisters, if the Most High finds favor to reveal them, count yourself blessed in the time that your heart is ready. And just seek to, if you've been resistant at any time, to make up for lost time. I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near. To his might, to his glory, to his praise. Always, my brothers and sisters, I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near. Let us indeed seek him that we might know what we must love. To his praise always, hallelujah. And I thank you all again for listening. You've got the world to change, but your body.